Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think you could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Torn and Keel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast, the Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast, or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, I thoroughly recommend checking out the podcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. I'm Alan.
I am the Grizz.
And we're being quiet now because it's 10 o'clock at night. And you're listening to Rise of the Robots as this week we cover
The Second Annihilator!
I'm really excited about this event because it's a lot of the kind of those mid-card robots that never quite got a chance, like Atomic and Bulldog Breed, and
yeah.
They're definitely going to be in this match because they won matches, and it's not like they faced Hypnodisc. In Series 5 and got destroyed.
Don't know what you're talking about. So, the rules are, it's six robots whittled down to one. It's going to be five matches. Here we go. So, the six robots that we are going to look at here are Atomic 2, Panic Attack, Steel Avenger, Napalm, Bulldog Breed, and the Disco Inferno.
But unfortunately...
Wait, never mind. So Atomic died, apparently, and Bulldog Breed died, apparently.
I wonder when that will happen.
So,
or which robot is responsible.
So replacing them will be...
Hippopotamus.
Fighting Talk.
Do you remember when this team was like... the first real super pusher like, that we ever saw?
Like, legit. And... oh, guys. Like, okay, right. I mean...
they were so good, they used to get a theme. I've stopped giving them the theme now, because I'm just embarrassed.
You should be. You should be doing that. You should be stop not doing... wait.
Yes.
You should stop doing... You have stopped doing that.
Yes.
You've already stopped doing that.
Yes.
You're good for doing that. That's what I'm trying to say. You should have been continuing to do that. Because, like, I mean, like, hell, like, you know what? Even actual Fighting Talk may have not been the best robot in the world, but you know what? There was at least something there. This Fighting Talk, apparently, which is named to Hippopotamus, or whatever, is just
a puzzling course.
I think it's specifically a sandbox that just has the same weapon as Fighting Talk attached to it, but it still announces Fighting Talk because.
Yep. And also, slightly less controversial, Bulldog Breed has been replaced by Spirit of Nightmare.
At least half-decent kind of replacement, but one robot that should definitely been replaced and didn't was Napalm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least, you know, it's an annihilator. We know it's good. You know, five matches. It's maybe, as I said, it's still, it's robots that we don't really get a chance to shine.
And Panic Attack.
And Panic Attack, exactly. So what will happen is all these robots will face Panic Attack. Panic Attack will dispatch them one by one. And then Panic Attack
wins.
Exactly, that's what will happen. And that will happen over the course of five matches.
Five
definitely.
Matches.
Definitely.
Right, so, okay, let's... now that the deck has been shuffled, let's do this again. So... From, I didn't really even take the froms for this one, so I'm just going to announce them as is. We know that Fighting Talk is from Edinburgh, so from Edinburgh, Fighting Talk.
Which is now a yellow hippo.
Yep, and as they may have said, has a new name, from Cardiff, Panic Attack.
I think it's from Cumbria, isn't it not?
Well, that's in Cardiff, I'm going to assume.
So, Panic Attack is definitely the most successful robot here.
From Essex, the Steel Avenger.
This is a real chance for Steel Avenger. I mean, they've just got into the final of the tag team tournament. They're probably the second strongest bot in terms of reputation going into this match.
Formerly from Darford Girls Grammar School, Napalm.
I can't even effort. I put about as much effort into giving them ill will as they have making robots, because it is. It's the same thing from season two with a different shell. And they've only done the different shell because the old one's in so many pieces.
Mm-hmm. The Spirit of Nightmare.
Starting a streak of three annihilators that this team appears in. This robot... This robot's weird. It has a flipper, but it's tiny.
Yeah, there is no way... That flipper is expected to actually flip anything.
Well.
But you know what? Prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And from and from Cambridge, Disco Inferno.
I don't know why you're bothering to introduce this. This robot has no chance. This is what happens with a Disco Inferno. It turns up, it drives a meter, it's very impressive for that 1 meter, and then it dies. So I don't... And they've already said that they don't want to keep this design.
It's a suicide mission. It's a suicide mission.
It's pointless. I mean, it's... And not only that, I mean, if you ever look at the weapon, the way it drives, it just casually drives around, it just drives past robots, and then the disc doesn't look like it's spinning that fast. I mean, and then it rips half of Napalm.
Oh.
And then it gets to Hippopotamus.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay, so before we actually get deep into this match, I want to bring up one thing. Every robot is making their way into the arena, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Except Napalm, that's clearly getting pushed into the arena by, like, Shun or Refbot or something. It is being moved sideways. You can clearly see the bumper of another robot pushing them into the arena. How did they get into this match when they can't even drive into the arena, but yet we got replacements for two other much more superior robots? Yes, you've explained why, but why didn't they just be like, Fuck it.
Because Gemini had already gone home.
No, Gemini, come back. I love you.
Gemini could have won this, actually. See, looking at the lineup, Gemini could easily have won this.
Gemini could have won. God damn it.
Do you know who else could have won this match? Hold on, Terminator.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That's
so,
one.
Not yet. The count doesn't start till season 5 proper. Which recorded at the same time, which makes it even weirder.
So, like, who's to say that we aren't recording these podcasts at the same time?
Me. So...
Damn it. Okay.
So, yeah, so it's the usual chaos at the start, and then there's just this random section where nothing happens. Disco Inferno rips something off one of its opponents. So it rips Napalm to shreds. It rips something on Panic Attack.
Yeah, there's bits of Panic Attack that came off.
And then...
Like, oh, hold on a second.
And then there's just this moment where Hippopotamus is kind of limping. Its shell's already breaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lead's already coming off.
And Disco Inferno just casually drives past it and it explodes.
Yeah.
And when I say explode, no. It literally, it is like something went boom.
Yeah. I mean, like, see, for the first, like, I don't know, I'd say minute or so, I'll give them credit. Like, the sandbox held up. It was the minute after that when... when I came face to face with Disco Inferno, that was clearly going for somebody else for most of that first minute, was when the damage struck, and it was like one little kind of dink, and then oh my god, the face is gone, the face and then half the body, and it's depressing.
And unsurprisingly, the first robot is out, is one Hippopotamus, and that's the only robot that goes out.
Hold on. I will... Right. How am I going to word this here? You say unsurprisingly. However, 3, 2, 1, activate. I watched 5 robots move off their starting position. Napalm did not move. Or if it did move... it barely moved. Like, I was convinced throughout this whole thing that despite the fact that Hippopotamus was there, that thing was going to advance because Napalm was in such an atrocious state of a robot that it was not going to even, like, move off its starting block. And again, as I said, it was pushed into the arena. But yet, Hippopotamus... made of plastic. It was only a matter of time.
And then after that, I mean, it's not like Napalm instantly withdraws because the robot's dead.
Now, don't know what you're talking about. So, that's a 6. The remaining 5 moving on to the next round. Panic Attack versus Steel Avenger versus Napalm versus the Spirit of Nightmare versus Disco Inferno. So... we cut backstage, Disco Inferno is struggling to push Robot back together.
To the point where George Francis is helping them.
Yes, which George Francis, looking very staff-like.
Yep.
And then it's announced that Napalm can't make it because it's broke. And it's like, I don't know, maybe you should have announced that before the last match? Because it was clearly broke then. And also, where's Claire?
Don't know.
Getting really annoyed here.
Right.
Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is Techno X with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast. where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU podcast and subscribe today.
So we cut backstage to build up for the third round, which is actually the second match.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out Panic Attack has had to have major repairs. Spirit of Nightmares had to have major repairs. Disco Inferno, as we saw, has basically had to be rebuilt. And yeah. Steel Avenger is actually in the best shape because it's only got a twisted chassis.
Ah, only.
I've driven a car with a twisted chassis. It's not fun.
I can imagine. I can imagine anything that has a twisted chassis is probably not easy. Very quickly, a little other thing that I remembered. After Hippopotamus got eliminated, you know what? Like, the kid in that team, like, really took it on the chin. It was like, I mean, I don't know what you expected. It was made of plastic. And then the, like, Craig Charles was like, why did you put out a robot made of plastic? He's like, I don't know, it was fun. And I was like, fair enough, like, I'm glad that you're, like, one of those kids in Robot Wars that doesn't think that you're going to put in a plastic sandbox and think you're going to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, you know what, he took on the chin, and, like, there's nothing I appreciate more than a kid that knows when his robot's going to lose. I'm looking at you, indefatigable. Not winning. Taking part of the cats. Sounds like a real loser.
So
the kid could probably beat me up now.
Oh, most certainly.
It just turns out that, like, he grew up, got really into UFC, and is now like a 3-time black belt in 3 different, like, disciplines. So, and then he listens to this podcast, like, right, I'm taking a trip to fucking Glasgow. I don't know why he has a Scottish accent.
So, this match kind of very quickly becomes Steel Avenger versus Disco Inferno and Panic Attack versus Spirit of Nightmare.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a kind of nothing match. It's not really that easy to follow exactly what's happening. Though, at one point, Steel Avenger does impale Panic Attack's skirt.
Oh, yeah. Which was, like, the one perfect shot, and it was like, oh, something's happening here now.
And then, at one point, Steel Avenger gets stuck on its side.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this brilliant moment where you actually see Disco Inferno bounce off Spirit of Nightmare into Steel Avenger.
Yeah. Oh, it was quite beautiful that. And then, like, I mean, I don't know if you said already or not, but, like, the first initial attack was actually Spirit of Nightmare, and its dinky little flipper kind of just, you know, dislodging Steel Avenger just in the most awkward way, and then Panic Attack kind of jamming it in the forks because they were just like the perfect thickness. It was it was quite impressive. And then, like, because, like, the thing was afterwards they were like, Craig Charles was like, oh yeah, your free make didn't go off, but, like, you just couldn't get back over. And they were like, Well, it did, like, multiple times in the match, just clearly we ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. Like, that's me proven wrong.
Absolutely. And, well, surprisingly, in many ways, and the one I really did not expect to go out so early, is Steel Avenger.
Yeah, I mean, like, Steel Avengers, I mean, definitely not anywhere near my top favourites. Like, geez, you can make a top, like, what, 50, and Steel Avenger probably wouldn't even scrape the honourable mentions, but, like, it's not a bad robot. It's a pretty reliable little robot. I think there's been very few times where it's kind of, like, broken down, like, or been, like, flat out knocked out. There was, like, this kind of scary point in the match where, like, there was a point where it just showed Disco Inferno that was kind of just sitting still. It was like, oh no, here we go, this is it. Like, it was doing really well, and then it's like, oh, it's starting to move it again. Thanks for that. Panic Attack almost pitted itself at one point as well when it tried to shove Spirit of Nightmare down the pit. That was terrifying. But, yep, as you say, it all comes down to Steel Avenger just running out of gas, couldn't self-right itself. And again, like, the damage was done by Spirit of Nightmare, so you know what? What, 20 minutes ago, Grizz can just go and eat a dick because you were around.
Speaking of 20 minutes, we're two rounds into this Annihilator, and it's 22 minutes into a 45-minute episode. And Panic Attack is damaged.
Yes. So
badly.
We move on to the next bout, which is Panic Attack versus Spirit of Nightmare versus the Disco Inferno. And Panic Attack is struggling very badly. So, what's that called? That's like, oh, Panic Attack. Oh man, our prize player. Better give them some extra time. So it's time for a bonus match. The Annihilator has been put on hold, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe it?
Yep.
Yes, I can, because this Annihilator has gone to shit and we need time to fill. Ah.
Yep.
So we're going to have a vengeance battle from the Isle of Wight. Come and get her, X.
Which, the reasons these vengeance battles are getting very tenuous, basically the argument that they're trying to make here is it's because they insulted Mr. Tom and said, oh, you shouldn't be allowed to wear the colours.
Mr. Tom?
Major Tom, even.
Mr. Tom.
Shut up, it's late, I'm tired. We're posties, we're not normally up this late. I didn't even know that the sky gets dark.
Heck, we're off tomorrow, grow up. Yeah, so the people from the Isle of Wight insulted the Union Jack, and at the very least, this one was made on camera. This grudge battle was at least something that happened on camera
and actually happened.
Having a match.
And actually happened, because we know there's one coming up. I'm just like, you guys were looking for an excuse to put a match on.
Yes.
Either that, or one team is a bunch of cunts, so.
Yeah. And then immediately after the match happens, like, nah, we were kidding.
Yeah.
And from East Sussex, Bigger Brother.
Oh, this is an ass whooping. This match is an ass whooping. The only reason it lasts as long as it does is because Bigger Brother gets bored and decides to attack Sergeant Bash instead.
Exactly. Like, the match ends in about, what, 30 seconds, maybe?
Yeah.
If even. But then, like, it continues to go on for about another minute and a half because Bigger Brother is doing more interesting stuff.
And then Cumangetrix comes alive and starts working with Bigger Brother to attack Kill-A-Lot.
Yeah, because, like, Garrix comes in and seemingly dies on the attack. He just goes, 3, 2, 1, activate, charge! Uh-oh. We've stopped. And then, so, Big Brother with a flip, Garrix comes back over, doesn't move. So Big Brother goes and flips over Sergeant Bash. And then Big Brother tries to flip over Sakilla, which I think almost breaks the flipper.
Yes.
The whole thing is wonky. And then, as you say, all of a sudden, Come and Garrix, like, comes alive, and then not only does it come alive, it seems to work a billion times better than it has done any other episode in this season, because we've seen a lot of Come and Garrix in Extreme, and it's always been a bit iffy, but all of a sudden, it works perfectly, and it's fucking having a go at Sir Killua and, like, axing away at it.
And then there's this moment at the end, so Bigger Brother opens the pit, pits Cumangetrix. It turns around and Sakilla's like, that sounds like a good idea, and just immediately pushes Bigger Brother in.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. It's like, it's almost like a Tom and Jerry cartoon where it's like Jerry is just dispatched, like, you know, that random bulldog that's there sometimes, and then Tom is just standing right behind him with his hands on his hips, like tapping his foot, like, you know what's coming now, don't you? And fuck, it just bitch slaps him or something. It's like, it's so, like, cartoonish. It's hilarious.
And then it turns out Joe didn't actually care. He just wanted an excuse to attack the house robots.
Oh, that was brilliant. Like, the way that Greg Charles turned around is like, Joe, like, I mean, they keep talking about the flag. It's like, I mean, like, You cared about what they said, didn't you? And he was just like, no.
Though, and he ends up talking, like, to Ellie, because he goes, no, we have to get a bit done here.
Yeah, I know, because like, he was interviewing the Cumangetrix team, and then Ellie was playing with the tassels on Craig Charles's jacket. And then he turns around, asks that to Joe. Joe's like, no. And then, like, Joe has, like, broke his controller. And he's, like, clearly trying to fix it and doesn't care what Craig Charles is trying to say. So he's trying to fix that. And then Craig Charles is like, right, clearly this isn't going anywhere. Ellie, what do you think?
And then he gives Ellie a Union Jack and helps them fly it. And then there's this awesome bit, which is, I'm sure, happens all the time, but they have to keep it in because they have to try and pad the runtime for this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Ellie running with the British flag and she gets a hug.
Like, that was super sweet.
I love that because I get the impression what's happened is Julia's doing Extreme so Philippa can do Robot Wars.
Yeah.
So I have the impression that there have been a lot of hugs doled out to kids.
Yeah, because, like, what, last season, Philippa really had, like, a rapport with Team Bigger Brother, or Big Brother. Like, genuinely. And I feel like this was kind of another one of these things where it's like, okay, like, may not be Philippa, but, like, see, what if you just do it to Julia?
And hey, free hugs. Who doesn't like free hugs?
Yeah, exactly.
Consensual free hugs.
Of course.
Obviously. So, we've got three robots left. So, our semi-main event, we have Spirit of Nightmare versus Disco Inferno versus Panic Attacks Out.
Never mind. Yeah, because we even have what's his name, Derek. Of the
that's when you know it's serious, when Derek is over.
When Derek shows up. Right, so yeah, you can tell it's serious when Derek's there. He's like the Vince McMahon of Robot Wars.
What, he comes strutting down and then rips both his quads?
I mean, he may have only done that once, but to be honest, the safety of Robot Wars Season 3, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
The amount of robots that were on bricks, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right. So, Panic Attack versus A Spirit of Nightmare versus Disco Inferno.
Doesn't
is
happen.
Off because Panic Attack is officially out. They said that, like, they got dinked in the back, I think. I'm assuming by Disco Inferno. And whatever's happened there, like, they're done for. Like, they can't go on. So
in other words, out of the 8 potential robots that could have taken part in this event, 4 of them were withdrawn off stage.
Yep. And
we're left with Spirit of Nightmare and Disco Inferno. The robot that looked like it belonged 4 seasons ago, and the robot that normally doesn't go more than 10 meters.
And the way that they talk about this before the match as well doesn't help, because of the way that, like, Julia is trying really hard to, like, kind of build it. I was like, normally it would take 4 matches to get here. It's only taken 2. And it's like, oh, well, you know, that really kind of goes to show more about how lame this Annihilator was.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what ends up happening is that This match, it's kind of like when you've had some really competitive matches, and then early on in your final match, one of the teams gets damaged in a way that just means that from that point onwards, it's just a sort of slow and quite horrible to watch destruction. Because it is, it's like watching. It's like watching something like a kid that's pulled the legs off an ant and is just slowly burning it in a magnifying glass.
Oh, Jesus.
It is. It's a Spirit of Nightmare. It's just casually, like, every time it moves, Disco Inferno just walks up to it and rips something else off.
But, like, the thing is, Disco Inferno was really, oh, it was just every moment that you watched it, it's like, this thing looks like it's gonna conk out. Like, it periodically got slower and slower and slower as time went on, and I don't think that it was gonna survive much longer if it did not knock.
Well, I think that's what they did.
Yeah, like, it actively tried super hard to knock out Spirit of Nightmare, because it was like, uh-oh, I think we're about to die. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Right, Disc Farce, just keep trying. The second the thing stops moving. Please stop moving.
And, yeah, I mean, fair credit to them. Disco Inferno, which you certainly, the second you looked at this lineup, was like, yeah, that's going out first, because it's going to break down 2 seconds in, after dealing heavy amounts of damage as well.
Yeah. I mean, like, this match was pretty awesome, let's face it. Like, considering this was, like, probably the most dud Annihilator of all time, like, the final, despite the fact it was only 2 matches in, it was pretty chaotic.
Yeah.
Spirit of Nightmare at one point pops his flipper, gets, like, sliced right down the side by Disco Inferno. And then there was even a couple of times where Refbot got a bit too close to Disco Inferno and took a couple of pops, and it was like kind of impressive. It's like, I didn't think that the Refbot was that kind of
tough,
you know. Yeah, tough. Exactly.
Shunt takes a couple of blows as well.
Yeah, it's just, but like, as I say, like Disco Inferno, like, it just kind of, it didn't exactly look like it was longed for this world, but it done enough damage that Spirit was just struggling that little bit more.
So yeah, that was the third ever annihilator of the British Robot Wars.
And so we just have for confirmation, Disco Inferno wins the annihilator. So Disco Inferno does have a championship, which it was never actually awarded, but
so
it,
the most unreliable robot in the world is apparently able to survive the battle that tests your reliability more than any other.
Yes, more so than, you know, your iconic robots like, say, Panic Attack.
I mean, it is that kind of thing of, you just sitting watching this episode just going, what's left to go wrong?
You kind of sit, like, see, just watching this as it is, it's okay, fair enough. But see, watching this, knowing the context that you filled us in on, and the fact that two of the robots were taken out by Hypnodisc,
and you sit
there just going, damn you, Hypnodisc.
Can you imagine what Atomic 2 would have done with this group? Atomic 2 would have won.
Atomic 2 and Bulldog Breed, because Bulldog Breed 3 was absolutely the best version of Bulldog Breed there was.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely bar none. Like, the two of them would have absolutely ran roughshod off everybody. And I would not be surprised if the two of them, being these big beefy flippers, just double teamed everybody and then took it down to the two of them in the final. And
ironically,
then just had a flip off.
The robot that would have benefited from that is Panic Attack, because it wouldn't have taken the damage it took.
Yeah, exactly.
And it actually, so it would have been an interesting freeway. But Aqualets, we do have some trivia.
Oh, good.
So, the first one is just what we've explained already. The Annihilator was played by breakdowns and withdrawals. Two robots were first to withdraw before the competition even began. Two more were forced to resign from the Annihilator due to damage sustained whilst participating. Consequently, it only featured three battles, the fewest of any Annihilator in history. Mm-hmm. This was the first Annihilator out of three successive Annihilators to feature a robot from Team Nightmare. In contrast to the other Annihilator in Extreme 1, where only one of the robots was not a semi-finalist in Series 4, only one of the robots in this Annihilator, Panic Attack, was a semi-finalist in Series 4.
Interesting.
And despite being referred to as the second Annihilator of Extreme, this Annihilator was actually referred to as Annihilator 1 in the official filming schedule document, and these two Annihilators were actually filmed back-to-back. So it's like
simultaneously
you're getting Arnold on Terminator and Pussycat ripping it up, and then a bunch of robots dropping dead,
and then Spirit of Nightmare and Disco Inferno limping
into
a match.
Absolutely. So we'll be back next week with the final main episode of Extreme.
Hopefully it'll be better than this one, because this one was a dud.
I mean, I think it's one of these things, it's a bit like other Annihilators that we've watched, where it's sort of, it's Annihilators, because of their nature, are very brutal.
They're very unpredictable, I'll give it that, because I did not, like, predict hoopla that happened in this episode.
It's a bit like how you sit there and go, I think it's telling that out of your winners of Annihilators, almost none of them were really fancied robots.
Yeah.
Like, there's the one that Razor won, and there's the one that Pussycat won. But I think between them, I think four of the Annihilator... the winner of four of the Annihilators, admittedly, two of them were the same robot. But those Annihilators, I don't think that those three robots had a single singles win between them.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Disco Inferno might have won a match at some point, but certainly Spikosaurus hadn't, and certainly Can Opener didn't.
Oh, but Spikosaurus, as we said, should have won that opening match it was in. I would still argue that one. But yeah, like Spikosaurus, it came for that one season. It won an Annihilator. Okay, like maybe shady sort of judgment as to how it won the Annihilator, but you know what? It won it, and then it went away and never came back, and it's still in Robot Wars history as being an Annihilator champion.
Yep. Which is more than Chaos 2 ever did.
Exactly.
So, next week we will have a match that will conjure absolutely no flashbacks in Grizz as Razor takes on Tornado.
Yeah. And misogyny. See you next week.